Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson, excuse me. And if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. So at this time, I'd like to say a prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen. Set up.
God, I can't wait till I get up there. Thank you, Jesus. Elohim Shalim. 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 In Joshua 3:10 in the NIV, this is how you will know that the living God, Elohim Shalim, 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 is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. Praise God. Live the living God, Elohim Shalim, the living God. You are the living God. Lift up your name in praise and exhortation. For you are deserving of my highest admiration. In you is life. All that is living finds its existence from you. Without you, we have no life. Every animal, cell, flower, human being, every living thing receives its life from you, from your own awesome and great living God. I praise your powerful, life-giving name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. And again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson tonight in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to join us at 7 p.m. Our call-in number is 319-527-6204. And you can also call in your prayer requests at that same number. Amen? Praise God, because we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you, because our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry. God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
Thank you.
Trust in you, Lord. Dear Lord, I will place my hope in you. If I become discouraged, I will turn to you. If I am afraid, I will seek strength in you. In every aspect of my life, I will trust you. You are my Father, and I will place my hope, my trust, and my faith in you, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
The things that you're doing, knowing ain't right. Don't even know if you can make it through the night. So let's pray. Don't have to be ashamed.
Never too late.
Never too late.
There's a better way. They always say they got your back. Hard time will make you face the truth back. A waste of life, you can't turn back. Mama cried so much till she had a heart attack. In your cell, you're crying out, oh Lord. In the darkness, the voice answers your call. You feel the Holy Spirit anoints you fall. The light of His word picks you up and stand tall. Stand tall.
Daily devotion. Amen. Praise be to God. And the title of this devotion is Defeat Discouragement. And the scripture reading for this devotional is coming from Psalms chapter 18, verse 3. And it says, I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Praise be to God. One of Satan's primary weapons against the believer is discouragement. The enemy works on our emotions, trying to persuade us that we are not worthy of God's love, plan, or blessings. He tells us that the trials we experience are evidence that the Lord has rejected us. He seeks to make us feel defeated, because if he can make us give up, he will have naturalized a potential vessel of Christ's glory. However, understand that all the enemy has are smoke and mirrors. God's love for you is unconditional and eternal. So what Jesus did for you on the cross, absolutely nothing can separate you from his love. And it tells you in Romans 8:38 through 39. Likewise, Satan can never really defeat the Lord or his purposes for you. Your enemy is a defeated foe, and he can only try to undermine your confidence. But you don't have to let him. Friend, disappointments are inevitable. But discouragement is a choice. Because you have already been promised the victory in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. So trust God, your ever-present help, strength, and victorious deliverer. No matter how things look, Jesus has never let you down and never will. Amen? Praise be to God. Let us pray. Jesus, I choose to trust you despite discouragement and trials. Thank you for giving me the victory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory, and I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it was to me. Praise be to God. And again, at this time, I will play another selection, and after the selection, I will come back with a short word from the Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise be to God. Holy is your name. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, when I am troubled, you heal me. When I am afraid, you protect me. When I am discouraged, you lift me up. You are my unending source of strength. Lord, let me turn to you when I am weak in times of adversity. Let me trust your plan and your will for my life. And whatever my circumstances, Lord, let me always give the thanks and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's live your life together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem
may be,
He's in control,
and he knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory,
for he is my king.
In him I live, move, and have my being. Say it again. No matter what.
The problem may be,
He's in control,
and he knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for he is my king.
In him I live, I move, and have my king.
Say
like the best of people.
Higher and higher,
come on, sing it.
Lift them up.
Come on, sing it.
Lift them up.
Come on, this is easy.
Higher and higher.
Amen. Praise be to God. My scripture reading for this evening is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And it says, and this chapter is talking about avoiding lawsuits with Christians. When I'm reading from the New Living Translation, amen. When one of you has a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit and ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers? Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? And since you are going to judge the world, you cannot judge the world. Can't you decide even these little things among yourselves? Don't you realize that we will judge angels? Angels. So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. You have legal disputes about such matters, why go to the outside judges who are not respected by the church? I am saying this to shame you. Isn't there anyone in all the church who is wise enough to decide these issues? But instead, one believer sues another right in front of unbelievers. Even to have such lawsuits with one another is a defeat for you. Why not just accept the injustice and leave it at that? Why not let yourselves be cheated? Instead, you yourselves are the ones who do wrong and cheat even your fellow believers. Amen? Praise be to God. So Paul was saying, why did Paul say that Christians should not take their disagreements to unbelievers in secular courts? One, if the judge and jury are not Christians, they are not likely to be sensitive to Christian values. And two, the basis for going to court is often revenge. This should never be a Christian's motive. And number three, lawsuits harm the cause of Christ and make the church look bad, causing unbelievers to focus on its problems rather than on its purpose. Amen? Praise God. It is right or wrong. Is it right or wrong for Christians to go to court against one another? Perhaps this has never crossed the mind of most believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is a thought that needs careful consideration. The implications are that Christians should settle their differences out of court. Amen? My text for this message is coming from 1 Corinthians 6 and 5, and it says, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. And my title for this message is, Is there no wise among you? Each Christian should consider the situation at Corinth. Corinth's situation was somewhat different from today. Greeks in general were fond of going to the law. They were not only quarrelsome, but the suspense and uncertainty of cases before courts brought excited pleasures to their previous nature. Quite different from modern courts. It seems as if Paul's discussion is not about crimes, but rather about civil cases. Christians should not take legal action toward one another. The fact that Paul was not talking about crimes does not lessen his action. Every implication of Paul's argument in this passage is that suing one another is wrong. The same argument points out that when Christians do so, they are the losers. Amen. Each Christian should consider his or her privilege and responsibilities. Paul said that the saints will judge the world in 1 Corinthians 6:2. Hey, come here. Come here. Sit down. Thank you. If saints are to judge the world, then pagan or civil courts should not be used to make decisions for Christians. Here Paul makes his argument from the greater to the lesser. He moves from the world to the smallest matter. The proper use of the word of God judges the world, and that honestly, in the last days, the saints shall be associates of Christ in the matter of judging. Paul's whole argument is that any time, sit down. Paul's whole argument is that any time a Christian goes before the court to settle an issue, he or she is going from the highest court to a lesser one, should consider what is wrong with going to court against a fellow Christian. The first wrong is the admission of a lack of competence on the part of those who have the light of Christ. The second wrong is recognition of defeat. The scale on which these matters work is a descending one. To have disputes is bad. To go to court with one another is worse. And to do it before unbelievers is even worse. The very question of courts indicates there is something wrong. Disputes ought not to arise, but if they do, they should be settled by a mutual friend. It should be done in the spirit of love and forgiveness. The third wrong is that it causes an adverse effect on the church. Christians cannot go to court against Christians without having a harmful effect on the fellowship of the church. Amen. The fellowship of the church should always be based on love, brotherhood, and forgiveness. To God be the glory. And my conclusion is, in modern society, some things must be settled in civil courts, but Christians should take every precaution to avoid using them. They should never do so unless it is the law of the land. I pray that this message was a blessing to you as it was to me. To God be the glory. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into a good Bible teaching church. Amen. Praise God. And my benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 through 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play a selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Praise be to God.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the Jesus be the center, say, Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you. Everything we
from my heart to the heavens. Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Your church, Jesus, be the center of your church, and every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus.
Ah,
Jesus.
I'll leave for
said, I have said the Lord always before me. I've let your name, Lord, I worship you. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I live for you. Forever I am yours, Lord. Your name, Lord, I worship you. Oh, I can, I can with a heart of worship, a heart of worship. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For I will look unto the altar and of my faith. Come on, let's take it higher.
I'll live for you.
I'll live for you.
I'll die in you.
For I have said the Lord always before me. Because you are on my right hand, I shall not be moved. I bless your name.
For this evening, I would normally give our speakers a 15-minute grace period. In the meantime, while we're waiting, I will play another selection. Praise God.
I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am a healer, mender of broken hearts, Alpha Omega, your destiny and where you start. I am the one who does impossible. Just let me be who I am to you. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am for you.
Stop this.
I am the one. And always provides. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word,
her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. Rocking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but and say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs another God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but
I am.
One more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
Amen. I am. Praise be to God. Tonight I would like to share a story of prayer for a healthy soul by Billy Graham and Max Lucado, Joni Erickson, Tata, and others. And this title of this story is A Prompting from the Spirit. And this one is by Joni Erickson Tata. Amen. And God's word in Psalms 95, 7 through 8 says, today, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts. Amen. The writer says, rush from work. Meet Judy at the Hamburger Hamlet. Glanced at menu. Scoffed down chicken Caesar. Paid bill. Exit restaurant. Put down lift and wheeled into van. Oh, yes. Stop. And pray with Judy before heading in different directions. To our amens, she headed for her car while I waited for my van to warm up. I breathed deeply, trying to slow down, my heart from the fast-paced day. It was evening now, a different pace, and I was heading to my church to speak to our woman's group. As I pulled out of the parking space, I noticed a woman wearing a baseball cap leaving the restaurant. I wondered who she is. That baseball cap, her scraggy hair, suddenly I sensed a powerful urge to ask her to come to my church to hear me speak. Yes, she must come. She should come to hear me. She needs to hear what I have to say. This is ridiculous, I said out loud. Alone in my van, cars were backing up behind me. Should I follow through on the impulse? What am I supposed to do? God, roll down my window, yell to her to come over here and say, hey, I think you ought to follow me to church. This is silly. I honked at Judy. She jumped out of her car, ran over to my window, and I told her about the strange prompting. Judy glanced at the woman on the sidewalk and then at the line awaiting cars. You are blocking the traffic. Joni, you will be late for your meeting. All the way to church, I berated myself for not inviting the woman with the baseball cap to come to church. Lord, I prayed out loud, next time I won't flinch. I'll follow through. I promise I'll listen to your prompting. 10 minutes later, as I was pulling into the church parking lot, I was surprised to see Judy arrive right behind me. You are not going to believe what happened, she said. Excuse me. As I saw another van parked right next to her, apparently, after I left the hamburger hamlet, the woman in the baseball cap approached Judy and asked who I was. This was too weird for my friend. Joni almost invited you to come hear her speak, she said. Would you like to go? I'll show you the way. There in the church parking lot, I heard her story. Earlier, my husband and I were at the UCLA Cancer Clinic, and we stopped to eat on our way home. Her voice cracked. Her husband squeezed her shoulders. Joyce, that was her name, continued, I have had breast cancer for 4 years, and 2 hours ago, I learned that the cancer is now in my brain. It's inoperable. You look so happy. I don't know what to do, where to turn, and so we're here. My mouth dropped open. I now understood the scraggly hair under the baseball cap. Chemotherapy. I also understood why the Holy Spirit had urged me to halt in the middle of everything and invite her, a complete stranger, to come hear me speak. That night, as Joyce and her husband sat in the front row. I talked about heaven and hope, grace, and the gospel of Christ. The two strangers had an opportunity to blow their heads, to bow their heads and pray, to open up their hearts to Jesus. I shuddered to think the opportunity was almost lost. It was almost lost because I let awkwardness override it. I let embarrassment discarded me. Dissuaded me. I bouched it, thinking she's a stranger, for goodness sake. Yes, for goodness sake, I wondered how many of us sense an urge to reach out, but then do nothing. We second guess the prompting and ignore the Spirit's leading. Amen. I learned that night that every urge to do good, every prompting to share the gospel is a prompting from God. We need not second guess God's word through Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:2. Pushes us into action. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. This week, you will hear God's still, small voice whisper, say something to her. Invite him to make that call. Forgive him of, apologize for, check on her. You may be tempted to brush it off, but don't. Seize the moment. Now is the time of God's favor. This is the day of salvation. The prompting may never pass your way again, and neither might that person forever. Words of wisdom. Spiritual life requires discipline because we need to learn to listen to God, who constantly speaks but whom we seldom hear. Whenever, however, we learn to listen, our lives become obedient lives. The word obedient comes from the Latin word adurai, adura, adua, which means listen. Jesus' life was a life of obedience. He was always listening to the Father, always attentive to his voice, always alert for his directions. Jesus was all ear. That is true prayer, being all ear for God. The core of all prayer is indeed listening, obediently standing in the presence of God. God's promise in Psalms 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. Amen. Let us pray. Father, let my existence be ruled by a great silence. Let my soul be listening, be given to the needs of others. Let me be silent in my innermost being, not asserting myself. Let my soul be detached, not grasping at anything in this world, and thus overcome in my life the power of habit, daily routine, dullness, fatigue, and fear. Let me create within myself a carefree tranquility, a place for every encounter, unreserved, receptively, and unhurried disposition. Extinguish within me the feeling of self-importance and the last stirrings of my ego, and make me gentle. Let me answer thoughts and situations rather than words. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to be holy as you are holy. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Just to see you,
to behold.
Lord, every voice in this room. We have about another 15 seconds. I want you to open your mouth. We have sang for your glory. I will do anything. I wonder what type of praise you will give him until he releases his glory. Somebody raise up your hands and open your mouth now. Can I get somebody to cry out for God in this room? I'm only talking to those of you who are hungry for him. I'm only talking to those of you who are thirsty for him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To our God.
To our God.
Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Stories of prayer for a healthy soul. Are you listening? God's word in Psalms 131 verse 2. It says, I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. I remember the first time I heard God speak to me clearly. I had just had a miscarriage after 3 years of infertility. Nothing was making sense to me. I was sad and I felt alone. Unable to sleep in the middle of the night, I wrapped myself in a quilt and went into what was supposed to be the baby's room to pray. There in the dark, I found myself unable to do anything but ask God to let me know he was with me. And there, for the first time, I heard God's still, small voice. I am here. You are going to be all right. An incredible sense of peace settled over me as I realized that I had really heard God. It was so clear that at that moment, it did not matter so much whether I would have a baby or not. What mattered was that God had told me that I would be all right because he was with me. The next morning, however, I began to wonder why God chose that moment to speak to me. For nearly 3 years, my husband and I had been praying, as had friends and church members. We had prayed for direction, faith, a baby. We had read the story of Hannah and Samuel a million times. Why had not we heard him clearly through all of that? Looking back, I realized that I hadn't been quiet enough to hear. I heard that night because I was completely still. It was quiet. It was dark. And I came to God with no agenda except to find him. My prayers before that time had been full of activity, asking him, telling him, reminding him of scripture. Silence is a critical part of listening prayer. Most of the time, whether we're caught up in the activities of ministry or even the fierceness of prayer, we find it much easier to talk. Sit over there. To talk in this day and age. In this culture, we have lost and the discipline of being silent in God's presence and waiting expectantly to hear his voice. We know how to talk to God, but we struggle with listening for a variety of reasons, as in any loving relationship. However, two-way communication with God is crucial. He is, after all, a relational God. And he delights in speaking with as well as listening to his children. His voice is so important in our lives, whether it is convincing us, ministering to us, directing us, or refreshing us. Simply put, are you listening? Words of wisdom. During our prayer times, we have the opportunity to listen. We listen for the still, small voice of God speaking to our souls. We listen for the experience of love that he brings to us. We are uplifted by his presence entering into our hearts, enriching and inspiring us to go out and walk upon higher and more loving pathways. Through prayer, he leads us to step above the stumbling block which have tripped us in the past. He leads us to accept responsibility and to face challenges that we never would have faced before. He leads us to dream dreams and to filter them through his prayer screen of divine approval. Then he helps his plans for us to find their spiritual fulfillment. It is a way to let God fulfill his desires for us. David C. Cook III. God's promise. Isaiah 30 and 15. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Prayer. Lord, teach me to pray It sounds exciting. Put like that, it sounds real. An exploration, a chance to do more than catalog and list the things I want. To an external father, Christmas, the chance of meeting you, of drawing closer to the love that made me and keeps me and knows me. And Lord, it's only just begun. There is so much more of you, of love, the limitless expanse of knowing you. I could be frightened, Lord, in this wide country. It could be lonely, but you are here with me. The chance of learning about myself, of facing up to what I am, admitting my resentments, bringing my anger to you, my disappointments, my frustration, and finding that when I do, when I stop struggling and shouting and let go, you are still there, still loving. Sometimes, Lord, often I don't know what to say to you, but I still come in quiet, but the comfort of two friends sitting in silence, and it's then, Lord, that I learn most from you. When my mind slows down and my heart stops racing, when I let go and wait in the quiet, realizing that all the things I was going to ask for, you know already. Then, Lord, without words, in the stillness, you are there. I love you, Lord. Teach me to pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And I pray that you had enjoyed this prayers for a healthy soul. Amen. To God be the glory. And I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Until we meet again tomorrow at 6 p.m. in Jesus' name, amen. What's with this child? She don't have a life. All they do is just be on Facebook. Social media. They need to